Good morning, Little Saigon, Seattle, Washington State, on the planet Earth, orbiting the sun, 50 billion klen from my home world. It is October the 17th, 2019, just after 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's Thursday, people. Tomorrow's Friday. If you're a responsible adult, you're already at work, working very hard. Maybe you're fixing a bug with the great snake. Every great company has a great snake now, an ETL ingestion engine. Maybe you're fixing part of the great snake. You'll update a stored procedure. You'll install a new file processing script. Then you'll spin up a new VM on the cloud. Yeah, it might work this time. But maybe not. Don't know what to tell you, folks. Don't know what to tell you. If you're at work being a good little slave, congratulations. If you have kids, I understand why. If you have a girlfriend or a wife, I understand why. If you have a dog or a cat, I kind of get why. But if you're a single adult male, divorced, around the age of 50, living in the United States of America today, and you're asking yourself, well, Dan, should I give a shit about going to work today? Well, I don't know. According to a recent article I read on the internet, created by a truly intelligent psychological professional who probably recently got dumped. I'm serious. I'm going to include the link to the essay or blog entry. But it reads like a woman who's recently dumped a man that wouldn't obey her, or was recently dumped herself. A lot of fucking projection in this fucking essay. It's mostly about a new disorder that she believes should be created called responsibility deficit disorder. And when I saw it, the first word that occurred to me was drapedo-fucking-mania. Drapedomania was an illness that was developed by a mid-19th century Southern doctor, Southern scientist, Samuel A. Cartwright, in 1851, determined that if a slave runs away from the fucking, from the plantation, if the slave runs away from the fucking plantation, then the slave must be sick. Because why would a slave run away? Why? It's so wonderful on the fucking plantation. Now I'm going to read the first paragraph of this amazing essay or blog entry or whatever. I think of it as an outright call for Big Pharma to create a new drug illness category to remarket some fucking terrible poison to teenagers and adults. And I think she wants in on the money. But whatever her fucking motivation is, let me read the first fucking paragraph. And before I start reading it, literally the first full paragraph, because the first statement is, some people are simply irresponsible. You know, that is so much hyperbole. So much ridiculous bullshit. Some people are irresponsible. Almost the literal fucking definition of a human being is irresponsible. I'm not trying to be mean, people, but please, we are all irresponsible sometimes. To claim that you are never irresponsible is a funny, funny claim coming from a fucking human being, any human being in 2019. Anyways, let me read the first paragraph of this amazingly intelligent essay written by Dr. Linda Sapadin, I don't give a fuck how to pronounce her last name, PhD. And before I read this first full paragraph that follows the statement, the brilliant statement, that some people are simply irresponsible, before I read this paragraph, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to imagine that what I'm reading is the definition of government. Not some governments, not, well, just the bad governments like Iran, or like China, or like that Nazi Germany we blew up during World War II. No, I'm going to ask you to just, you know, pull on your big boy pants, as Dr. Sapadin might say, and imagine that what I'm about to give you is the definition for all government, not just some government. And guess who gave us this definition? Dr. Linda. Dr. Linda's definition of government. In fact, I am literally going to take this fucking paragraph and put it on a poster and give her full fucking credit for giving the best fucking definition of government ever. Let me begin. They may be careless and capricious or outright reckless. They, quote-unquote, forget about appointments. They're chronically late. They neglect to plan ahead. They're financially irresponsible. They don't take care of their stuff. They make rash decisions that get them into trouble. They ignore deadlines. They act as though others should bail them out of whatever trouble they get into. Now, keep in mind, folks, this is literally the core definition that Dr. Linda puts in her magical article about responsibility deficit disorder. But what I just read you is the perfect fucking definition of government. Perfect. Never read a fucking better one, ever. They may be careless and capricious or outright reckless. Check, check, yep. Never seen a government that wasn't that. They forget about appointments. Yeah, actually, this is true, provably, and also anecdotally. Ask about my nephew. And how many times the Navy kept telling him, oh yeah, you'll be processed soon. You'll be processed soon. Yeah, they forget about appointments. That's also the government check. They're chronically late. Oh my God, I'm not going to get into all of the fucking bullshit promises of government. But here's a nice little example for you little techno-utopians. You ever hear the Human Genome Project? You ever hear of Celera Genomics? Celera Genomics, a private company, entered the race to map the human genome after the government created its Human Genome Project. And guess who finished first? Yeah, Celera. So, yeah, they're chronically late, and I could keep going. They neglect to plan ahead. Oh, fuck. Gee whiz. If you have a pension fund right now that you're depending upon the next 10 to 15 years, like, literally listen to what I'm fucking saying. If you have invested your beliefs about retirement into any government pension fund, you are fucking batshit crazy. Do you understand what kind of a hellscape dystopia would have to occur for you to get even one fucking dime in 20 years? It isn't going to happen. There's no way to make it happen. It's true, we could fucking pollute every fucking river in this country, we could drain every fucking lake, and we might get you your fucking 10 cents. But it's highly fucking unlikely that people will be that fucking stupid. So yeah, they neglect to plan ahead. Check. Thank you, Dr. Linda. Another thing that's true about government, they are financially irresponsible. Gee whiz, they misplaced, our government misplaced $22 trillion. In the last couple decades. Remember Donald Rumsfeld the day before 9/11 telling us all that the Pentagon misplaced about a couple trillion bucks? But, and then magically the missile, slash plane, hits the part of the Pentagon that has all that evidence. Isn't that fucking magical shit? Yeah, that's basically true. They're financially irresponsible as fuck. Our government is broke as fuck. Financially and otherwise, really. And that applies to all governments. They are all financially irresponsible. There has never been a government that wasn't a fucking parasite. The only time a government ever looks good is when the underlying economy is so wealthy, so productive, that literally the government is living off the fat of the land. But you know when you really see the ugliness of government? When the fat isn't there. When times are tough. The government's teeth come out. You see it for what it is. A fucking ugly monster. A fucking crocodile. Thank you, Dr. Linda. You're right. Government is financially irresponsible. They don't take care of their stuff. Oh, gee whiz. I read an article today about our government sending in fighters to blow up a base that our government created in Syria. Oh my God, there are so many examples of they don't take care of their fucking shit. All governments. This is true of every one of them. Okay? They are supposedly responsible for national, quote-unquote, public resources. Look at what they've done to these fucking public resources. Oh, how about the magical naval target practice islands off the Pacific coast and the use of depleted uranium? Well, that's not going to hurt the fucking ecosystem. Thank you, Linda. You're right. They don't take care of their stuff. They make rash decisions that get them into trouble. Well, gee, our government's never done that, ever. Ever. They've never decided to do crazy-ass stupid shit like, I don't know, have the prohibition. And yeah, that kind of sent the United States into a criminal chaos period of bullshit. Yeah, our government's made a few fucking rash decisions that have gotten them into trouble. I would say the whole war on marijuana is a rash and stupid decision. They ignore deadlines. I don't even want to have to explain this. If you've ever worked with a government project manager, holy fuck, this requires no fucking explanations. It should be they ignore deadlines and budgets, Dr. Linda. Those two things go together. Time is money, you fuck. They act as though others should bail them out of whatever trouble they get into. I'm going to repeat that fucking sentence, and I want you to meditate on government, meditate on the state, meditate on the Democrats and Republicans right now. They act as though others should bail them out of whatever trouble they get into. Yeah. Every fucking 4 years. Rather, every 2 years, because, you know, the House rotates that way. Every fucking election cycle, we are told about all the things they could have never known would happen. How could they know that a debt-driven economy would collapse? They couldn't know. They couldn't know that a housing-based economy, a lopsided economy, where people flip homes to each other, is not sustainable. How could they fucking know? 500,000 Americans were poisoned with radiation during the Cold War. A whole bunch of sailors on an aircraft carrier just after Fukushima were also poisoned with radiation. Oh, how could they know? They could not know. Just help bail us out of our bullshit. Please. I don't want to spend this whole podcast on Dr. Linda, but I really do need to thank her, because even though she doesn't realize this, like, she might be the Gartman of psychology in the sense that if she's useful, you kind of have to reinterpret her shit. She may have given us the best definition of the state ever. The state is careless. The state is capricious. The state is fucking reckless as fuck. The state forgets about promises and appointments. They are always late. The state never plans ahead. Are you kidding me? The crocodile doesn't have to plan. The state is financially irresponsible as fuck. They do not take care of their shit. They make terribly rash fucking decisions. They always ignore deadlines. Deadlines for the state are only meaningful if you're a slave. They act as though others should bail them out all the fucking time. How could we know? Yeah, okay, Dr. Linda. Yes. My first response to that fucking link on Minds.com was that this was more kind of bullshit about drapedomania. But what I've come to realize is that you have properly deconstructed the government. And let's look at your recommendations, because I like them. Be direct with them. Yes, we should be direct with the government. Know what you'll do the next time the government fucks with you. I'm reinterpreting Dr. Linda, but actually she's giving us some good advice. Now that we know what the state is, Dr. Linda's telling us how to deal with the state. Number one, be direct with the state. Okay, don't mince words. I kind of like that. That's how I am. Number two, know what you will do with the state or government the next time the government dumps on you. Yeah, have a fucking plan. Number three, know where your power lies. Yes, vis-a-vis the government, you need to know what power you have. And believe me, in this day and age, as Dr. Linda will tell you, the government will try to take away your power every fucking time it gets a chance. Make the government an offer they can't refuse. Treat them like the mafia. My God, Linda, it's like I'm reading Rothbard. Sidestep the problem by being less involved with the government. Yes, stop voting. Stop participating in the madness. Voting is bullshit. A, it does not work. It is literally the button on the web page that triggers nothing. Okay? And B, even if it did work, it would be a horror. It would be just as bad or worse than what we have. All government sucks, people. Remember the famous quote from Winston Churchill. Democracy is the worst form of government, excepting all others. Do you understand what that means? It means literally government, democracy sucks, and all other governments suck. That is the logical meaning of that fucking Churchill quote. All governments suck. And last but not least, Linda's recommendation to all of us anarchists is change begins with you. And I have to agree, Linda's right here. Linda did not intend for me to use her essay to deconstruct the government and then to provide actions or outcomes or behaviors. But the reality is this, the change does begin with you. Whatever your action's going to be vis-a-vis the government, make a choice. Some of you out there, you want to be very active. You even believe that direct action could help. I don't think so. I think, frankly, as an anarchist, your best fucking move is a waiting game at this point. I know that sounds like a passive move, but it really is. Okay, I don't think that the current government can survive much longer unless, of course, it becomes more radical. Unless it, you know, descends further into the police state. The problem is, I think that would trigger a lot of backlash. I think that Americans are tired of it. Even the Americans that don't really have a very coherent understanding of their natural rights, even those Americans are beginning to wonder, am I a slave? It's why the poisonings must continue. It's why we are being poisoned in many ways, in my opinion, because they realize there's a point at which no amount of programming, no amount of, you know, electromagnetic smog, no amount of garbage coming from the sky or anywhere else in the food, the water, none of this is going to change the fact that every human being has a breaking point. Because that's also Linda's little message here. Don't pretend you're going to fix the government. You're not. You're not going to fix this person with responsibility deficit disorder, because by definition, when you chose to have a government, you gave up your responsibility. Oh yeah, Dr. Linda, did you think about that one ever? Your acceptance, she's probably a voter, folks. Other than the fact that she either dumped a guy that was taking advantage of her, one scenario, A, scenario A, or scenario B, she got dumped recently. Or she's gone through a recent divorce or something. I have no idea. But the point is this, okay? She's probably a voter. Oh yeah, our good friend Linda is probably a voter. So think about her fucking advice. She's telling you to not enable the responsibility deficit person, the person that won't take care of themselves and is a total fucking leech. She's asking you to disconnect from that. And yet I promise you, every time she gets a fucking voter's pamphlet, she fills it out. And yet voting does not work. You have Stockholm syndrome, Linda. You're very, very confused. You're so confused that in your confusion, you're inadvertently making fucking sense. Next topic. Next topic is actually related to who is funding this hour of the Little Saigon Report. As you well know, the laws are changing across this country. I don't know if it's Alabama or Georgia, but there are a few states that are considering post-birth abortion. Yes, you heard me right, and Dr. Linda, boy oh boy, how do you feel about that post-birth abortion? Is that at all related to responsibility deficit disorder? Seems like there's a human responsibility that's missing there. I don't know, Dr. Linda, what do you think? Yeah, recently there's been a lot of action towards allowing people to abort their children just after birth. And in our rather satanic Luciferian society now of Sodom, where basically anything goes and nothing matters, yeah, I can imagine that becoming a thing. So Planned Parenthood, we all know Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood's where you got your condoms back in the 80s. That's if you were having sex and I wasn't. Planned Parenthood is where you took your girlfriend back in 86 because you got her knocked up. You're both sophomores in high school. You have your singing career ahead of you, and she wants to be a model. But funny thing is, you ended up working in a factory that got shut down, and she ended up becoming a stripper than a hooker. Yeah, so Planned Parenthood is remarketing itself. It's branching out. It recognizes that there are massive shortages of protein. Not enough protein out there. Not enough protein, even if you include all the cats and all the dogs, all the rats and all the frogs. And everybody wants their, you know, their protein. They want their barbecue. So Planned Parenthood, in a radical move, is opening a restaurant in Little Saigon. It's Planned Parenthood, Pho Bar, and Baby Back Ribs. Yes, Planned Parenthood, Pho Bar, and Baby Back Rib Shop in Little Saigon. The tastiest baby back ribs you'll ever have. Everyone's favorite on the menu is called the Modest Proposal. So if you don't have plans for Friday night and you want to take your girl someplace special, and you also have to get a, you know, she wants an abortion, why not take her to Planned Parenthood, Pho Bar, Baby Back Ribs, and Abortion Clinic? Oh, did I mention that? Yes, if you take her to the Pho Bar, Baby Back Rib Shop, and Abortion Clinic by Planned Parenthood in Little Saigon, she will love you long time. And here's the good news. The good news is you're going to get a punch card. You're going to get a punch card at the Planned Parenthood, Pho Bar, and Baby Back Rib Shop, and Abortion Clinic. If your girlfriend has 9 abortions, you'll get your 10th abortion free. So yeah. If you got nothing planned for Friday night, if you're saying to yourself and your girlfriend, and you're saying, You know, I've heard about this new restaurant in Little Saigon. It's ran by Planned Parenthood. They have really good pho, which is basically that Vietnamese noodle crap. And also really great baby back ribs. And coincidentally, there's an abortion clinic there too. Protein's hard to get, folks. Protein's hard to get. You may joke about protein, but you won't in about 18 months. Some of you will wander the streets in search of protein. You'll wander the streets like the Harket lords of ancient times. You'll wander the streets as Gumbus queens and zombie millionaires. You'll wander the streets with your Bitcoin that nobody will take. And you'll search for protein. Yeah. Anyways, this hour of Little Saigon Report is paid for by Planned Parenthood, Pho Bar, and Baby Back Rib Shop, and coincidentally has an abortion clinic in Little Saigon. And believe me, these baby back ribs, that meat, it falls right off the bone. Next topic. So, like a weirdly autistic and addled and completely addicted to meth, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, a completely crazy, drugged out PCP, Angel Dust, Cray Cray, Paul Revere, running through the street saying a recession is coming. A recession is coming. A recession is coming. Oh look, she just came. Oh, that's kind of gross. The recession just came. All over her new underwear. The recession is coming. Folks, here's the deal. I don't know how much time I want to spend on this topic because this topic should be filed under how dense are you? Okay? How dense are you? If you take the government's numbers, okay, which I don't really trust because I know they're bullshit, but if you take the government's numbers, the U.S. economy has averaged under 3%, under, that's sub 3% GDP growth since, quote-unquote, the great financial crisis ended and everyone was saved by Obama, okay? If you believe the government's numbers, our economy averaged under 3% growth. If you believe their numbers regarding the central banks, the amount of bond purchasing they did over that same period, the amount of Keynesian bullshit the government did, and all kinds of other fucking money spending and debt, if you take all that together and you subtract that from the GDP, which you should do, they don't do that any longer. Actually, what they do is they add that, which I think is funny. But if you actually subtract that shit, Our economy is shrinking, folks. Okay? Our economy is getting smaller. It's not growing. The world is not growing. We have been in a global depression for at least 10 years. That is way closer to the truth than anything else. If you believe their narrative, they will tell you that this has been the weakest recovery in modern American history. Not the second weakest, not the third. The weakest. And what did Janet Yellen say? I really love this quote, because these people, these Luciferian central bankers, every once in a while, probably for reasons of ritual, they have to let out a little bit of truth. What did Janet Yellen say a few years ago? There will never be another recession in my lifetime, which means a couple of things. Either she was dying of cancer, so she, you know, literally was going to be dead soon, or she knows something about the state of the economy that most of you don't know, or maybe some of you suspect, and that it's a giant fucking fiction. It's total bullshit. If you're expecting The Economist, or Time Magazine, or Newsweek, or the Christian Science Monitor, or CNN, or Fox News, or any fucking media to come and tell you that there's a recession, or worse, an economic collapse, yeah, they're not going to tell you, folks. They will only admit to shit they can't cover up, because they need to be thought of as at least being semi-aware. They will admit to shit if it can't be covered up. For example, massive amounts of methane are being released around the Arctic Circle right now. Okay? They can't really cover that shit up. So they come up with other explanations, or they claim they knew about it and it's no big deal. For example, the Trump administration and the Obama administration, and probably the Bush administration, have said some interesting things about the Arctic in recent fucking decades. In recent fucking years. One thing they said about the Arctic is there's never been more fucking ice, ever. We've never had more ice in the Arctic. That's great. They've also said that the Arctic is open for business. That's weird. That the Arctic is navigable. That's really weird for all that ice. That the Arctic is open for mining minerals and setting up oil platforms and gas platforms. I can keep going. If you see pictures of the permafrost, if you see these little Eskimo villages basically melting into the ground, it's not random shit, folks. The reason why the government's finally talking about it is they can't cover this shit up. So, going back to the topic of recession. If you do the simple math, in my opinion, what you're going to find out is we have not been in a recovery. We have been in a steady decline. Now, some people would call that a depression. Some people would call that economic collapse. What I will tell you is this. If you think we have been in a recovery, if you think these have been boom times, if you honestly believe that we have been in boom times, that these have been the greatest times ever, then you need to fucking buckle your seatbelt. You really do. Okay, because your reality is going to take such a radical shift, it's not even funny. I brought up the stranded skier before, and before I go to another topic, I'm going to bring up the stranded skier again. Imagine you're a downhill skier. Okay? You're skiing, maybe you're in, you know, I don't know where there is still natural snow. I don't mean the shit that gets created. I mean natural snow. But wherever there's still natural fucking snow, imagine you're a downhill skier. And I don't care. Maybe it's not natural snow. Let's not give a fuck about where the snow comes from. You're a downhill skier, buddy. Or gal, whatever. You are a downhill skier and you're skiing and you're having fun. It's a great day. You're skiing alone. And that's a little risky, but that's okay. And you ski down a path, and it's late in the day, and there aren't that many skiers and on the slopes, and actually there's no one on the path. You hit a branch, and you get knocked unconscious. That happens. Sometimes people get knocked unconscious when they're skiing. That shit does happen. It happens. No one knows where you are. Okay, the sun is going down. people are drunk, and best case scenario, somebody is going to remember you're not there maybe tomorrow because you went to the fucking lodge by yourself. You went up there thinking you were going to hook up with some beautiful woman, and that's good news because the narrative playing inside your head is that narrative, okay? According to your consciousness, you're not unconscious and slowly dying. You're having fun at the chalet, at the bar, with beautiful models, being so funny, being so witty. They think you're handsome. You're not slowly dying. You're at the chalet. Okay? Your body, if it's going through a process of dying from exposure, will let your arms and your fingers and your feet and your legs die first. Yes, that's true. Your body was designed to behave that way. Okay? From your perspective, your nuggety center, your heart, your lungs, your brain, they're all still working. In fact, they're working fine. From your perspective, you're up there at the chalet having fun. The reality is you're dying. If you live in Seattle or San Francisco, I mean parts of San Francisco, and I should say parts of Seattle. In fact, this is the fairest statement. If you live in one of these safe zones in America, like Carmel, you know, north of Indianapolis, or, I don't know, fucking Ballard or Magnolia, some nicer neighborhood where people make documentaries because they see a homeless person peeing on some garbage called Seattle's Dying. They never really do talk about the illegals, though, in that one, do they? That's funny. They talk about the one or two white people that are crazy and angry, but they never talk about the illegals. Isn't that funny? And Seattle's Dying. That's a funny documentary, random thought. Anyways, you're the stranded skier, folks. But when I say you, I mean the U.S. economy. We have been knocked unconscious on the slopes for about 10 years. And every one of you, well, not every one of you, I'm sorry, that was unfair, that was categorical. A lot of you believe you're at the chalet, drinking martinis, hanging out with supermodels. Everything is fucking great as fuck. What you don't understand is that you are dying. Your economy is dying. You can mock flyover people all you want to, okay? This game of city folk and country folk making fun of each other, whatever, for weird cultural reasons, it gets old fast. But the truth is this. Those parts of the country that you make fun of, those are the arms and the legs. Those are the fingers and the feet. Those are things you actually need, okay? There are things that you want, okay, and things you need. You might want, okay, to have a mining kit to mine Bitcoin. You might even want Bitcoin, okay? Or a new iPhone, or a fucking electric bicycle. But you actually need food. And when I say food, I mean healthy food, not poisonous food. And you need water. I don't mean poisonous water. I mean actually clean, healthy water. And the air you breathe kind of needs to be non-poisonous with an oxygen level above 17%. That's reality, folks. Those are the things you actually fucking need. Okay? You need the flyover country because they're part of your ecosystem. They're part of your world. But that's not how you think. You are the stranded skier. All of you. Most of you. Maybe not all of you, but a lot of you. And even those of you that are the actual feet and fingers, some of you are so drugged out and in such a hopeless state that you more or less are almost dead. You know, one example of the quote-unquote economic hypothermia that is set in is the opioid crisis, these deaths from hopelessness. I call them all suicide, all of them. There's slow-motion suicide and there's fast suicide. Fast suicide is when you hang yourself or you shoot yourself. Slow motion is where you take drugs or drink too much. For example, when I get to a really dark place, this morning being an exception, because I did not start out the morning drinking, that's good. But when I get to a dark place, I will drink too much. I will drink, and I will rationalize it, obviously. Okay? So when you talk about the stranded skier, it just doesn't apply to the rich and to the fancy people in the fancy parts of the cities that are left alive. It also applies to the parts of the country that are dying. Okay, they're just as confused. They're just as incapable of understanding what's happening to them. America has been an unconscious stranded skier on the slopes for a decade, folks. And you're wondering what happens if there's a recession? I think that's funny. Next topic. Next topic concerns a subject that really troubles Uncle Dan. Next fucking topic is a very troubling subject. It's so troubling that I'm not even sure I should broach the subject, but you know what really pisses me off these days? It pisses me off that because of what's happened with technology, we're no longer able to pick up that receiver, that phone, to pick up that fucking headset and slam it on the receiver, to slam it down on those fucking buttons, to fucking slam the phone down. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, especially one or two of my sisters, I just want to have a phone in my hand that I can slam on the fucking phone and break into a billion fucking pieces. Of course, that's because I suffer from borderline personality disorder and other disorders defined recently by Big Pharma to sell me pills. But no, seriously, this is the downside, well, not the downside, there's many downsides to our smart devices, quote-unquote, but one of the big downsides is you really can't slam the phone anymore. You can't hear that obvious signal, that crackling noise, that weird electric buzziness of copper and relays and other shit taking a fucking circuit and closing it. Yeah, you can mock that. You can say, well, Dan, we have technology now. And you shouldn't slam the phone. That's what people who should be on pills given to them by Big Pharma doctors would tell you. But I really do just want to slam the fucking phone sometimes. It's kind of the point I've gotten to. It's like, I'm talking to somebody on the phone and they're saying, well, Dan, have you thought about this? Dan, have you considered Beto O'Rourke? Or no, the better one's Tulsi Gabbard. Have you considered Tulsi, Dan? Yeah, I've considered Tulsi. I consider her to be a woman that took the oath after 9/11. Which means she did very little thinking when she was younger and does very little now since she won't resign her commission. If you participated in illegal wars, the only moral thing you can do in the context of actual just law theory, just war theory, is resign your fucking commission and be opposed to the fucking illegal war. That is your moral fucking responsibility. This is me slamming the phone down on Tulsi Gabbard. You know, Tulsi, I gotta be honest with you guys, Tulsi looks a lot like the magical candidate for 2020. She really, really does. She and Beto, those two, they look like they were harvested out of a marketing genome workshop. Literally, they were come up with, they were built the same way Trump was, the same way all these other fuckers are. But sometimes they're just too fucking clever by half. Okay, Tulsi's being made out to be anti-war, but yet she still technically has her commission. How does that fucking work, Tulsi? You think there are some wars that are good? Which ones? Which wars are the good ones? Was Vietnam a good war? Was the first Gulf War a good war? Grenada? How about the wars of toppling Latin American republics that Smedley Butler talked about many fucking years ago? How about the killing of Native Americans? How about the use of military force in reality to take a place called Hawaii? yeah, subterfuge and military force and a lot of other evil shit. How about that, Tulsi? You see, Tulsi says shit that I kind of agree with. These wars are terrible. But the problem is it begs the question, why are you still technically in the service? If these wars are illegal, if they're immoral, you have an obligation. Your obligation was and still is to say no. Yeah, I wish I had a phone I could slam down at times like that. Because I gotta say, folks, and then there's this Beto O'Rourke. You know what, folks? Beto is so transparent. He makes cellophane look fucking opaque. Bottom line is, Beto, okay, when he talks about things like taking away tax-exempt status from churches that don't support gay marriage, Beto doesn't mention Islam when he says that. Beto also doesn't mention radical sects of Judaism. Oh, gee whiz, did you know that there are sects of Judaism that are also opposed to gay marriage? Holy shit. It's funny the things that Beto forgets. Beto says he wants to go to your house and take your gun. I don't know what Beto really wants to do. He actually is becoming one of the best salespeople. Other than Obama, Beto is becoming one of the best fucking salespeople for guns. I was not willing to put my fucking marriage in jeopardy to go get a gun behind my wife's back until Obama was elected. That's how much I got played before I realized what was going on. Okay? Beto is selling guns right now. Are you learning yet? I really do miss having a phone. I can just take that fucking headset, that big chunk of plastic and copper and metal and frustration and the human misery of the human experiment that seems to be going sideways every moment as I speak. I would love to take that fucking phone and just slam it down. Anyways, I think we're done for this hour of the Little Saigon Report. But before we go, I need to remind you of something of grave importance to all of us when you consider the future ahead, where we're headed to, where we're going, the future. You ever think about the future? I'll tell you something about the future. The future is about high-protein diets. The future is about the nutrients that can be got from eating the flesh of those things that we throw away. They are unnamed, they are unmentioned, because they are unwanted. And if you ever ask yourself, am I living in Sodom? No, you're not. You're living someplace way fucking worse. You are living in a nation that actually asks the question, is it okay to kill a baby once it's been born? Not before, not in the last month, not as it's exiting. But after it's born, that's the country you live in. So keep in mind that this hour of the Little Saigon Report was brought to you by Planned Parenthood, FABAR, and Baby Back Rib Shop, with conveniently located abortion clinic in Outback. So head on down there tomorrow night with your girlfriend and get yourself some food.